Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy world. So welcome to the 503rd edition of SDG. And the title of this message is 2021 Crisis Update Number 16. And folks, later in this message, we're going to tie it all into what it really means to be born again. So you're born again. So what now? Well, tune in to learn how we can live lives of victory as we open the doors to our souls to the will of God. Now, the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we are not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So we already have victory in Jesus Christ. So I'm imploring you to please, folks, please refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this media-manipulated coronavirus heist. So, folks, like we do every week, let's start by looking back on a past episode. And last week, we finished up our review of episode 494. So let's look at what we covered in episode 495, first aired on March 6, 2021, titled 2021 Crisis Update Number 8. Now remember the Moderna executive? Do you remember him? Who admitted they were hacking the software of life? Do you remember that, folks? And he euphemistically calls it a vaccine, like so many of these fakes are doing. So let's listen to that Moderna boss telling us that these messenger RNA jabs rewrite the genetic code. This is crazy. It was from a TED Talk back in 2017. Listen to this.
So I started my professional life about 30 years ago as a nurse in the pediatric intensive care unit. And I remember this one infant, let's call him Jonathan, who came in really, really ill. Seemed to have a rare genetic defect, but in those days, gene diagnosis was still in its infancy, so we couldn't really figure out what's wrong with him. And in the years since, as I've trained as a physician scientist, we've been living this phenomenal digital and scientific revolution. And I'm here today to tell you that we're actually hacking the software of life and that it's changing the way we think about prevention and treatment of disease. So here's all the biology you need to know in 30 seconds. Our body is made out of organs. Our organs are made out of cells. And in every cell, there's this thing called messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, that transmits the critical information from the DNA, our genes, to the protein, which is really the stuff we're all made out of. This is the critical information that determines what a cell will actually do. And so we think of it like an operating system. And it's not just in every cell of our body, it's actually in every cell of every organism alive. It's the same thing. And so if you could actually change that, which we call the software of life, if you could introduce a line of code or change a line of code, it turns out that has profound implications for everything from the flu to cancer. And I'm going to demonstrate that with three short examples.
So there you have it, folks. They were telling us back in 2017 what they planned to do. And how about that Belgian virologist who admitted how they manipulated the information through the media concerning this virus to create fear and a false narrative? Listen to this man admit it live to this group he was speaking to.
And I was asked to tell you about my experience as being the crisis manager, the flu commissioner for Belgium, and highlighting the communication aspects there. And then you have one opportunity to do it right. I mean, day one is so important. In day one, you start your communication with the press, with the people, and you have to do it right. I mean, you have to go for one voice, one message. In Belgium, they chose to appoint a non-politician to do that. I mean, I have no party affiliations, and that makes things a little bit, at that time at least, a little bit easier, because you're not attacked politically, majority, minority. That doesn't come into play, and that was a huge advantage. The second advantage is that you can play in Brussels the complete naive guy and get a lot more done than you would otherwise be able to do. You have to be omnipresent that first day or the first days, so that you attract the media attention. You make an agreement with them that you will tell them all, and if they call, you will pick up the phone. When you do that, then you can profit from these early days to get complete carpet coverage of the field, and they're not going to search for alternative voices there. And if you do that, that makes things a lot easier. And then you have to say, okay, well, we will have H1N1 deaths. Of course, that would be unavoidable. I used there Sir Donaldson's quote, where he said that in UK, by the peak of the epidemic, 40 people would die per day at the end of the summer. So 62 at that time, million people in UK, 40 deaths a day. I worked it out for Belgium. That would be 7 deaths a day at the peak of the epidemic. I used that in the media. 7 Belgian flu deaths per day at the peak of the epidemic would be realistic. That is true in every year, even interpandemically. That is very, very conservative. However, talking about fatalities is important, because when you say that, people say, wow, what do you mean? People die because of influenza? And that was a necessary step to take. And then, of course, a couple of days later, you had the first H1N1 death in the country, and the scene was set and it was already talked about. And then you had to pick who is going to be vaccinated first.
You know, when these people open their mouths, what comes out of their mouths are lies. Did you hear him admit that this death rate is the same it's been for every other year? People die. And what a perfect segue into Carrie Lake's resignation from Phoenix Fox 10 News. Listen to Carrie Lake in her own gracious way say that, I can't do this anymore.
Hi, everybody. I've got some news I want to share with you. Since so many of you have sent me messages while I've been on leave asking me how I'm doing or when I'll be back, many of you left kind messages telling me that you miss me. I appreciate all of the messages, and I miss you too. This time away from work has given me a chance to reflect on my work. 22 years ago, Fox 10 hired me and paired me up with John Hook to bring you the news every night. Shortly after becoming a team, we jumped in the ratings and we've held the number one spot for almost all of our time together. Anyone who's worked in TV news can tell you that is not an easy feat, and it's one I'm extremely proud of. And I thank you for that, for tuning in and inviting us into your homes. Sadly, journalism has changed a lot since I first stepped into a newsroom. And I'll be honest, I don't like the direction it's going. The media needs more balance in coverage and a wider range of viewpoints represented in every newsroom, at every level, and in each position. In the past few years, I haven't felt proud to be a member of the media. I'm sure there are other journalists out there who feel the same way. I found myself reading news copy that I didn't believe was fully truthful or only told part of the story. And I began to feel that I was contributing to the fear and division in this country by continuing on in this profession. It's been a serious struggle for me, and I no longer want to do this job anymore. So I've decided the time is right to do something else, and I'm leaving Fox 10. I thank Fox for their understanding as I've come to this decision, and I am grateful for the opportunities they provided for me to cover so many big stories over the years. As I close this chapter of my career, there will probably be some hit pieces written about me. Not everyone is dedicated to telling the truth, but thankfully many of you have figured that out. I promise you, if you hear it from my lips, it will be truthful. It is scary walking away from a good job and a successful career, especially in difficult times. I know God has my back and will guide me to work that aligns with my values. I feel such a deep connection to all of you wonderful Fox 10 viewers here in Arizona and those I've met and interviewed over the years. Thank you so much for your trust and friendship all these years. I will keep in touch, and I hope you will do the same.
Wow. She said a mouthful there, folks. You know, along with Carrie Lake, a true professional, there's Ben Swan, who was also an anchor at a local affiliate. And then Greg Hunter, the former CNN reporter, who's now hosting the USA Watchdog website. Then there's Tom McDonald. On the complete other end of the spectrum, Donald, the rapper. And this man gets it. Now, folks, I'm not into rap songs, but Tom McDonald did a rap song called People So Stupid, which basically was set, if you watch the video, in a newsroom. And he's sending a message out to the sheeple. People so stupid. Listen to Tom McDonald.
Hi! I'm praying that the world changes soon. Can get a doobie on a plane, but there's Uzis in our schools. Every dude who touched a boob or a booty getting me too. What you expect from the kids who went to Hooters after school? We're all triggered and defensive. We're all racist and we're sexist. We all grew up watching South Park. How are we offended? Now being fat is beautiful. Name a thing that you can't do. Jumping jacks, run a mile, live past 42. Man, it used to be cooler to slip a bird to the system. And now it's trendy to be triggered and pretend you're a victim. It's my race, it's my weight. It's because I'm a Christian. I hate the internet and anyone who has an opinion. And everybody angry if you say white. Okay, fine. Pass me the brush and I'll paint my face to the shades right. Let's talk about abortion. Sorry, tell me how this works. Bacteria is life on Mars, but a heartbeat isn't life on Earth? Weird.
Y'all so stupid. Why are y'all so stupid? Get better problems. I swear to God that y'all want them. Y'all so dumb. People so stupid. People so dumb. People so fool.
I'm a hater cause I can't relate to gay pride. Call me homophobic because I don't wanna date guys. K-tight. I for one am not surprised the world declined along the way. Give trophies to children for losing just cause they decide to play. We exercise our right to vote and hate the politicians. Ay, this is a democracy, it's partly your decision. Ay, this is weird, feels like this a different year. If I identify as a female, then will my balls and penis disappear? Children want a gender switch and hating men is feminist. Depression and anxiety are trendy, we're too sensitive. Invented 80 genders, mad the world is not accepting it. Then gave them more attention than normal women and men can get. What a contradiction, being human is so tragic. Focus on minorities, ignoring all the masses. Hallelujah, everyone. Activism saved the planet. No more plastic straws and paper. Just paper straws wrapped in plastic. Congratulations.
Y'all so stupid. Why are y'all so stupid? Get better problems. I swear to God that y'all want them. Y'all so dumb. People so stupid. People so dumb. People so boo-hoo. Wah, wah, wah. Get better issues. We're gonna run out of tissues. It's so dumb.
Look, I get it, it's like the world is going crazy. Seems like a school shooting happens almost daily. The racism, rape culture, hatred that we're facing is way too ingrained for our hashtags to change it. We've become so lazy and complacent, afraid of our generation. We think activism's Instagramming memes and complaining. It's a problem when there's actually actions you could be taking, but you're triggered so you just cry like a baby.
Y'all so stupid. Why are y'all so stupid? Better problems, I swear to God that y'all want them, y'all so dumb. People so stupid, people so dumb. People so boo-hoo, wah, wah, wah. Get better issues, we're gonna run out of tissues, it's so dumb.
Now that says it all, doesn't it? And folks, I think you see through that, or you can hear through that simple little rap song what's going on in this world. But now, folks, we have to move on. Let's get started with Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And of course, as always, let's begin with our coronavirus heist.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, watch all this, pandemic, the coronavirus heist, it's a scandemic, they call it the great equalizer, and say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be, and folks, that ain't either you or me, so let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist, and just say they know all their lies and minds control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, watch all this, pandemic, the coronavirus heist, it's a scandemic, they call it the great.
Okay, so it is a scamdemic, and it is, quote-unquote, the great equalizer for everybody except the bankers, politicians, and powers that be. Now, we've talked a lot on this show over the last month or so about the VAERS database that's run jointly by the CDC and FDA, basically covering every adverse drug reaction that's reported, and only about 1 in 10, perhaps 1 in 20 of these adverse reactions are actually reported. So how do they handle it over in Europe? Well, Europe has the European database of adverse drug reactions for COVID-19. And this vaccineimpact.com report by Brian Shilhavy talks about this European database, which is known as Eudora Vigilance. And on it, they've reported 7,766 dead with over 330,000 complications. Folks, that's crazy. And what do we hear in the mainstream news? 6 blood clots from the Johnson & Johnson. You know, this website in Europe was launched by the European Medicines Agency back in 2012, and it provides the public with access to reports of suspected side effects. These are also known as suspected adverse drug reactions, okay? And these reports are submitted electronically by national medicines regulatory authorities and by pharmaceutical companies. And these are the folks that hold the licensing authority for these quote-unquote vaccines. Very interesting, isn't it? Now, their report through April 17th, 2021 lists 7,766 deaths. And like I said, over 300,000 injuries for 4 experimental COVID-19 being administered in Europe. These include the Moderna, the Pfizer, the AstraZeneca, and the Janssen, which is basically the Johnson & Johnson. And this is appalling, folks. The mainstream media doesn't report anything on this. If you go out there and you look for anything from the mainstream media, here's what you're going to hear. And that, in and of itself, is appalling. Where is the journalistic integrity? Is there one reporter out there like Ben Swan or Carrie Lake, any one single reporter that'll stand up and say, I can't take this anymore. I have to report on this. I have to tell the people what's going on. No one is doing it. Folks, this is an atrocity. And I say it's on the level of a war crime. People are dying from these vaccines, and we haven't even seen the long term. And when I say long term, I mean a couple months into, say, 48 months. Some of the doctors in the know are advising against all sorts of dangerous reactions. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is reporting the fact that there are over 20 spike protein type cells in your body. They're going to be attacked by these antibodies, and they include lung tissue, pancreatic tissue, and they can even pass the blood-brain barrier and cause prion disease. These are things like ALS and Alzheimer's. Folks, we are going to literally have the zombie apocalypse. Now, this next one, thank you, Sister Kathy, was a open letter to a friend who tested positive and should have known better. This was published by The Off Guardian. And it was a very well-written article, very thorough. And it covered many aspects of this incredibly monstrous fraud that's out there right now. And it's too difficult to wrap this all up in one little summary here. I just encourage you to go out there and read this letter. It's offguardian.org, open letter to a friend who tested positive. Now, the author has done what I thought was a very good job, trying to get as much information as he could into one simple letter. I've archived it on my iPad. It's so full of information. I shared it with a friend who works at the plant, and she was disturbed by it. I don't know. I apologize. It was not my intention to upset her, but she was diagnosed positive with COVID-19, and she had to be isolated for whatever it was, 7, 10, 14 days, whatever. And she's in the know, so to speak. She understands face masks are dangerous and don't actually have any efficacy with regard of circumventing transmission. Yet this upset her. This letter upset her. And I don't understand for the life of me why. I apologized. Everything's fine. But wow. Moving on, folks. Did you hear about the newscaster who slipped up and basically said they're running out of people to euthanize? Yeah, did you hear that? This is a very short one, okay? But they're running out of people who want to get euthanized. You know, more doctors are beginning to warn about this demonic depopulation methodology through the jab. And these vaccines are actually by doctors, practicing physicians, being called bioweapons. But listen to this short little 13-second clip.
It's worrying health officials who call mass vaccinations the only path to a return to normalcy. Almost 4 months into the vaccination effort, providers are beginning to run out of people who want to be immunized.
Could you believe that? That's called a Freudian slip, folks. I think these reporters, along with many physicians, understand what this is all about. Can you say Agenda 2030? Can you say Georgia Guidestones? And folks, do you remember what happened over in Wuhan? Right when all of this crisis began and we saw the media coverage, they were launching 5G. And then if you look at where some of the hotspots were here in the United States, what was happening? 5G was being launched. Well, there's been a report circulating showing that some of the electrical components being used in 5G towers actually bear the markings COV-19, COVID-19. Can you believe that, folks? It appalled me when I heard it.
Gosh, golly.
That's what I said. Gosh, golly. Can you believe it? And now it just so happens that this COVID-19 is two letters short of COVID-19. Well, Gomer, I'm not saying what this actually is, but isn't that the China virus? You know, my friend Tom McKay, also known as the Patriot Street Fighter, shared a clip on his Telegram account, and it was picked up by some of the alt media, showing this installer, this 5G tower installer, opening up a component and showing the COVID-19 chipset. Now, these 5G component installers all around the world are reporting these similar markings on their equipment going into these towers. What is this? Why is it happening? Now, remember, like I said, early in this pandemic, reports were emerging from Wuhan, where this all started, that they had just turned on 5G towers almost at the exact same time that residents were starting to get sick and drop dead. You remember those in the subways and at train stations, people just dropping dead. Then Donald Trump fast-tracks the 5G rollout across our country. And then we start to see these hotspots, people sick and dying, purportedly from the virus. Yet there are 7 universities out there right now, folks, that are claiming they cannot isolate the virus and follow Koch's postulates to get this virus identified. So they approach the CDC and say, Mr. CDC, can we have a sample of the COVID virus for our studies? And the CDC admits that they do not have a virus sample. Now, these 7 universities were sampling 1,500 PCR positive test patients and trying to isolate from their systems the COVID virus. And do you know what they were able to isolate? Two viruses, influenza A and influenza B. So what's really going on here? Is it 5G? Is there some correlation to this chipset in there that's identified as COV-19? Or is it really the China virus? What is going on? I'll leave that up to you to decide, folks. Is there a connection between 5G and the symptoms and the sicknesses associated with this China virus? I don't know. Listen to this clip here of this installer, and I want to give you a warning, folks. There is some profanity. It's about a minute long. If you have children around and you don't want them to hear the profanity, please cover their ears or ask them to leave the room. I think that's enough of a warning. So listen to this installer and how appalled he is by what he sees inside the electronics of this 5G transmission equipment.
I'm going to do this, but I've been working erecting 5G masts on towers like the one behind me for the past few weeks while everybody else has been in lockdown. And we don't crack open these kits because we're explicitly asked not to. But well, perhaps the best thing is for me to show you. Best if I just show you, look. It's a piece of fucking 5G kit and it says COVID-19 on it. I don't really know of any products produced by any company that produces circuitry like this that has the brand name COVID-19, but that's what it says on the fucking circuit board. Not a fucking conspiracy theorist. Obviously I've read all that stuff online about coronavirus and COVID-19, but why the fuck are they putting circuitry like that in towers like that? I just don't fucking understand.
Folks, when you finally realize that there are psychopaths out there in positions of power, psychopaths out there that don't have any restraint with regard to harming others to advance their agenda, very pragmatic in their approach to problem solving, their ends justify their means, they have a sick approach to others and certainly don't follow the golden rule, doing unto others as they would have others do unto them. No concept of that. Once you get past that and understand that that's the reality of this sick, twisted world we live in, I think then you can see how it's possible for people to engineer a ionizing radiation device, 5G, which is the same frequency used in crowd control devices by the police and the military, to literally disrupt your system and create ionizing radiation poisoning, which has symptoms identical to this COVID-19. But we have to move on. Now it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. The gentleman, Ka means soul. Bu means dance. He means skill from the verb. Kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Yes, please, people, please, 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 wake up. And if you're awake, wake up your neighbors. So it's finally here, folks. It's finally happening. The Maricopa County forensic audit of ballots is currently underway. It's taking place at the Coliseum despite numerous and continued efforts by the Democrats to block this process and to prevent transparency in our election process. So there's a clip that was out on the Gateway Pundit, and it's a clip of the Arizona GOP chair, Dr. Kelly Ward, speaking to the Gateway Pundit reporter and referring to this not as the Republican audit, but as America's audit. So it was Gateway Pundit correspondent Jordan Conradinson speaking with Arizona Republican chairwoman, Dr. Kelly Ward, last Monday in Phoenix, just outside the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, where they're doing this audit. And listen to what Dr. Kelly Ward has to say.
How's it going? It's Jordan with the Gateway Pundit here with Dr. Kelly Ward. How's it going, Dr. Kelly Ward?
Hey, Jordan. It's going great. We have an audit going on here in Arizona, so it's great.
Awesome. How is that audit going?
It's going. The Democrats are trying to stop it at every turn. They're filing lawsuits. They're throwing fits. They're throwing temper tantrums. They're going on the mainstream media and telling lies. Mm-hmm. But the audit continues.
Right. They've been calling it a, quote, Republican audit. How does that make you feel?
It is not a Republican audit. That is one of the misleading things that the press, the so-called mainstream press, the liberal press, in my opinion, they try to demean and belittle this audit by categorizing it as one party. It is not from one party. This is America's audit. It is for America to make sure that in our state and in our nation, voters can have confidence in the electoral system.
Awesome. So can you clear up some of the concerns regarding security, pens, and thumb drives?
Yes, and I will tell you that, you know, the Democrat chair went on one of the leftist shows just earlier this week and basically told lies, said there are hate groups that are doing the audit. That is a complete and total lie. Said that there are blue pens down on the floor invalidating ballots. Another lie. They're using red pens. That's what they're supposed to use. There is security here at this facility, both inside and out. Would I like to see more security from Governor Ducey, just like President Trump would like to see? Of course I would, because I want to be proactive. There are people across this nation, Antifa, BLM, that do not want to see this audit come to fruition. So we need to make sure that the people who are from all political parties are safe and protected as we complete America's audit.
Right. Back to Governor Ducey. Why do you think it is that he doesn't support the Republican Party in Arizona?
Well, I mean, I think he does. I think he does. He just does it in his own way. You know, Governor Ducey has the donor class and has people that help him do what he needs to do. He represents all of the people. He is a Republican governor, but he serves everyone. I have the luxury of being the chairwoman of the Republican Party of Arizona. My constituency are Republicans. They are the people who believe in faith, family, and freedom. They are the people who believe in keeping our government small. And they are the people, we are the people, who believe in election integrity. I'm proud to be a Republican.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, yeah, there you heard it, folks. This is the people's audit. Yet all we hear on the left stream, left-wing media, is that this audit will destroy our quote-unquote democracy. Is it the audit that's going to destroy our democracy? Or is it this lack of transparency and this lack of integrity in the voting process that will ultimately destroy our great country? You know, there's even people on the left who want to see this audit, but you won't hear about them on the mainstream media. You won't. You know, before I move on to the next part, did any of you catch the pillow guy, Mike Lindell, on Jimmy Kimmel? That was actually encouraging. Maybe I should have put that under the hopium report because maybe I'm full of hopium, but I actually saw two diverse views getting together. There was actually some humor. Was some good-natured ribbing, although I think at the core, Jimmy Kimmel has contempt for anyone who seeks the truth. But nonetheless, it was encouraging to see that. But even people on the left want to see the audit. But you're not going to hear about this on the mainstream media. For example, Democratic auditor and a former Bernie Sanders supporter says that the Arizona audit is the first real audit since the election. And he said, and these are his words, they built a computer that they knew would cheat. Now, this was out on Breitbart, I think it was. But Democratic progressive and Bernie Sanders supporter John Brackley joined, it was the Bannon War Room, last Tuesday to discuss this forensic audit in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, Brackley is the co-founder and director of a group called Audit USA. And Brackley was speaking with Bannon at the War Room. He had some good things to say. Now, this clip is long. It's 9 minutes and 54 seconds. I don't think we're going to play the whole thing, but you can go out to the Gateway Pundit and listen to the entire thing. But just listen to some of this. We'll see how much I play. It's just going to be based on how this thing flows. But just listen to Brackley talking with Bannon on why he supports this people's audit.
We're going to now bring in John Brakey from, Audit Elections USA. So, John, I just want to go through, and by the way, introduction to John. He was on the show yesterday. He's one of the key people working with former Secretary of State Bennett on this audit, also Mr. Logan from Cyber Ninjas. But John Brakey is no Trump partisan. John Brakey is no partisan hack. John Brakey is actually a progressive populist. He's a supporter of Bernie Sanders. He's on the not just the liberal side of the spectrum, on the progressive side, but he's someone who's fought his entire life for free and fair elections. So, John, I just want to bring in some of the spin on MSNBC and CNN. They keep throwing down consistently that there's already been dozens of audits. There's already been audits all over the country. This is totally unfounded. It's totally a lie. In fact, it's the big lie. I just want to I want you to explain to the audience, as an expert in doing audits, is this forensic hand audit, is it a real audit, and how is it different from things that have been done in the past?
Well, because the way that we're approaching it, even though we're improving, it needs to be more transparent, and Ken Bennett, me, and trying to get it to that part. And but what makes it really different is that, you know, we have tables that is checking the paper for thickness. It, they can tell if it was a machine mark or if it was a human that marked it, because it leaves an impression in the paper. They're doing a lot of forensic audits to put a lot to rest of a lot of the things that are being said out there that it was stuffed. They did it through, you can tell by the folds in the paper, and that's all true. And we want to do that because, you know, to me, we want to prove to people if elections are real or not, because our country, you know, needs that so badly. And so there's a lot of good testing, and I'm talking to a lot of geek people who understand elections across the country. And I brought one of the best in the country in yesterday, a guy named Ray Lutz, who is heavily into the ballot images and can add these things up. You know, this audit will wind up being gone through several different ways. And that's a good thing, because usually at a regular audit, when they run it through the same machine, the same way, I sit back and laugh and going, you know, well, that's really cute. You know, I was on the Fraction Magic team. You think you got a whole vote? No, you don't. You know, Fraction Magic as discovered by Benny Smith and Bev Harris, and I was on that team, can change the numbers on the fly, but it cannot change a hand-marked paper ballot, okay? But and then the ballot image, usually they try destroying that, and, you know, there's ways that we can get to the bottom of this several different ways, but there has been, repeating, there really hasn't been any audits at all since the election that were meaningful and done any way that would work for the people.
Okay, hang on for one second. I also want to say they're saying there's no rules, there's no regulation, there's no process. And I think you're going back into court. Everything that's happening in that arena complies. You and Bennett are ensuring that it complies with existing Arizona law, correct?
Absolutely. You know, Arizona has one of the best procedures manuals around, and, you know, and that's what they're submitting today is how it's supposed to be done. And then, of course, you know, we're looking to open this thing up to more transparency. We want the media to have the same access to things as if this was Maricopa County, where they have a viewing window that can come in. I want to get them in close, because it is a legit audit if we especially start releasing results as we have them. You know, we're counting right now the voting centers, and they should be able to report the results by voting center there for those results, and they got the poll tapes in front of them. These are details that we're working out, and we're going to be working these out more this morning. There's never been an audit like this, and it's exciting to see that, Steve. It really is.
What do you go back to that for a second, John? I want to talk about the historic nature of this, because this audience, the deplorables throughout the country, and particularly the patriots in Arizona, would not back down on this at all. They wanted to see a full forensic audit. Talk about why this audit is, you're so excited about it, and why this audit is different than other things that have been done.
Because we're looking, because we're not counting it on the same software. I mean, usually they say, okay, we're going to have a recount, and we're going to take the ballots, run it through the same machine with the same computer program that could have a virus in it. And the only way that you'll know that it's not is to actually hand count and match, and then, of course, put to bed the rumors about that we're going to find bamboo in the paper, okay? And, you know, there are some things that, you know, to me, you know, doing this all for the last 17 years full-time, understanding elections and working it, is that to really have a really big conspiracy, and if three of us know, the only way the secret will be kept if two of us are dead. And that's the whole purpose of having the software that is set up as badly as it is, because we don't know what's inside of it. And the only way you can truly test it is to actually hand count and do a thorough audit. And that is what's happening.
So that's what's happening, folks. You've got John Brackey, a Bernie Sanders supporter, who wants to get to the bottom of it. Now, he mentioned something in that clip I played, actually a portion of it. And like I said, you can get the entire clip at the Gateway Pundit. He mentioned Fraction Magic by Benny Smith. So what's Fraction Magic? Well, Fraction Magic is it was actually Fraction Math or Fraction Magic, discovered back in 2014, known as Scorecard, and it demonstrates how you can have an election stolen without detection by fractioning votes. And that's what's been happening. And some of the auditors have been explaining that. I think it was an audit in Wisconsin or Michigan, which actually documented that. But the smart elections are actually manipulated where, say, a vote for one candidate, and in the past election, they suspect that votes for President Trump were counted as a fraction of one, whereas votes for candidate Biden were counted as 1.2, 1.3, some say as high as 1.5 for every fraction of a vote credited to President Trump. So that's Fraction Magic in a nutshell. But folks, we have to continue to move on, have some more information to cover, and now it's time for our Coop Talk with Henrietta. Where are you at, Henrietta? Well, there she is. Hey, Henrietta. Okay, get on your paper over there. No messing up the floor. And you stay quiet, Henrietta, because we've got some information to update here. No, quiet. I gave you some cracked corn. Now be quiet. Okay, anyways, as I was sharing with you on a show or two ago, I was looking at some attachments for my small subcompact tractor, things that would make it a little more effective out here. And I mentioned the thumb. It was an add-on grapple attachment. Well, I've decided against getting it, folks. I was so close to purchasing that, and then I looked into what I had to do to my hydraulics, and I have a simple quick detach loader bucket, which I can have literally on and off the tractor in 3 to 4 minutes. But I've decided against the thumb. So what I did is I moved on to what's called the edge tamer. And the edge tamer, along with the edge extender, enables me to pick up logs. I was picking up some 20-foot logs, 8-foot diameter. I'd go under with the edge extenders and kind of curl the bucket up. I could pick one, sometimes two logs up at a time with that, kind of like miniature pallet forks, if you could picture that. And then I could carry the logs to wherever I want and drop them. I literally cleared 7 large pine trees. These are 40 to 60 foot pines. I literally cleared them in a couple hours with these edge tamers and edge extenders. And that was about $150 investment with shipping, worth every single penny. Now with that grapple hook, I would have had about $600, $650 with the attachment shipped. And then probably another several hundred dollars on the hydraulics and some more money for hoses. And then if they're not done right, you've got all kinds of issues. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to skip that. Now, the last attachment, like I mentioned, and I'll give you an update once I get that's the ratchet rake. This is very good for land clearing and grading driveways. And it's about a $340, $350 investment with shipping. And it looks like a very good tool. So I'll be sure to give you an update on that as soon as I get it and we try it. Now, I was going to put that report on ballot count into the Hopium report, but I didn't because there's some legitimacy there. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, that's going to reverse the election, and President Trump's going to assume the presidency. I don't believe it. I do not believe that's going to happen. I hope it's going to happen, but I don't believe it. So that's all I'm going to say for Hopium tonight. But I do have a couple things to cover in the Absurdian report. So let's move on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
We've heard of smartphones, of course, and everybody's heard of smart TVs, and we even have smart appliances like refrigerators and microwaves and even smart stoves. But did you know, folks, there's now a smart toilet? It recognizes the user's backside and analyzes their poop. Yes, folks, this is real. It was from the United Press International. And it was Dateline April 7th, a team of Stanford University scientists, and I bet you they were using government money, announced that they have designed a smart toilet. And this toilet's able to identify the user by the shape of their backside, and it monitors the health of their fecal waste. Lead researcher Sanjeev Gambhira, he said that his team and himself developed the Precision Health Smart Toilet to recognize users and use algorithms to analyze the health of their urine and bowel movements. Can you believe this, folks? This toilet uses cameras and motion sensors to identify a range of disease markers in the stool and in the urine, including warning signs of various types of cancer. Folks, I know this seems weird, but it turns out, and this isn't me talking, this is Dr. Gambrier. He says, your anal print is unique. So the toilet literally takes a video of your stool sample and uses algorithms to analyze the consistency of your body waste. This can't get any crazier than that. You know, he says, everyone uses the bathroom. There's really no one who can avoid it. And that enhances its value as a disease-detecting device. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. And I just thought it was a great segue into this true bit of the absurd from Joe Biden. You know, he addressed a select portion of Congress here the other night. And folks, is that even legal? Aren't all the representatives and all the senators entitled to listen to Joe Biden when he speaks? You know, they just have to protect this guy any way they can. But Joe Biden was out there, and I think I have a clip. And what he did, it was so absurd. He said, maybe I can find it under January 6th. Joe Biden says that January 6th attack on the Capitol, and boy, folks, that was one very limp attack, if you want to call it an attack. Joe Biden says that the January 6th attack was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Listen to this out of his mouth, and then I have a few points to make.
Members of the United States Congress and the Cabinet, distinguished guests, my fellow Americans, while the setting tonight is familiar, this gathering is just a little bit different. A reminder of the extraordinary times we're in. Throughout our history, presidents have come to this chamber to speak to Congress, to the nation, and to the world. to declare war, to celebrate peace, to announce new plans and possibilities. Tonight, I come to talk about crisis and opportunity, about rebuilding the nation, revitalizing our democracy, and winning the future for America. I stand here tonight, one day shy of the 100th day of my administration, 100 days since I took the oath of office and lifted my hand off our family Bible and inherited a nation, we all did, that was in crisis. The worst pandemic in a century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Now, after just 100 days, I can report to the nation, America is on the move again.
So, here's the claim. Joe Biden says to the joint session, the joint select session of Congress, that the Capitol riot on January 6th was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Well, first of all, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, but that's a story for another day. So what about this claim that this was the worst attack since the Civil War? Well, the verdict out, and by the way, did you know, folks, that the Washington Post has finished doing fact-checking. They simply don't have to check Joe Biden because I guess everything he says is perfect, you know? Well, that's simply not true. This wasn't the worst attack since the Civil War. In fact, it wasn't even an attack on the Capitol. It wasn't. It was a false flag. Now, there are several true attacks to our republic since the Civil War that were far more severe than whatever you want to call that event in Washington on January 6th. And folks, we've covered that here in great detail. And you know, if you listen to the show regularly, that John Sullivan, an Antifa agitator, was at the core of all that, paid by CNN and I think another news network to provide video footage as he breached the Capitol and dragged people in. And most of those people were Antifa people changing into Trump outfits with armbands and hats put on backwards and other ways to signal who they were. So what were some of the true attacks on our nation that were worse? Well, we had wars. Remember the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor back on December 7th, 1941? That was worse, wasn't it? How about assassinations? We had four assassinations, folks. Four assassinations, presidents. It's crazy. Four assassinations on our presidents. And I just lost my train of thought here, so I'm going to have to go to my notes. So we had, since the Civil War, or the War Between the States, Abraham Lincoln in 1865, James Garfield in 1881, William McKinley in 1901, JFK in 1963, and then the attempt on President Ronald Reagan. Remember that one back in 1981? How about true attacks on the Capitol? Let's call an apple and an orange, okay? So what were some of the true attacks on the Capitol? Well, there was a Puerto Rican terrorist group that opened fire during a debate in the House of Representatives back in 1954, wounding five members of Congress in the most severe assault in the history of the Capitol building. Yet nothing's ever even talked about with that one. How about the Weather Underground back in 1971? They literally exploded a bomb in the Senate, and another left-wing group carried out a similar attack back in 1983. And how about the gunman that opened fire at the Capitol checkpoint back in 1998, killing two Capitol police officers? And then in 2017, just a few years ago, a left-wing gunman opened fire on Republicans during a baseball practice game. Remember that one? Wounding several Republican congresspeople, plus a Capitol police officer. And none of this was even talked about this year. Don't you find that a little strange? So then we have this hoax, this false flag, whatever you want to call it, and they're calling that an attack on our democracy. What's going on here? What is going on here? And remember what was supposed to happen literally hours later on the Senate floor concerning the ratification of these electoral votes. And none of that happened then. What a perfect excuse, isn't it? Yet what did we hear all during the Trump administration? Russian collusion. And the FISA warrants and all the other things that were being used to undermine true representative government. And yet they call this false flag on January 6th the worst attack on this nation since the Civil War. Give me a break, folks. This doesn't compare to it at all. Now, this is a good segue into our next segment. Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. So look around, folks. What do you see? All around you, you see what I'll refer to as the urgency of an emergency. You know, never let a good crisis go to waste. Isn't that what Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, said years ago? You know, I've seen a shift in our culture, folks. We now have fiction and fantasy instead of faith and facts. And people are being driven by these fictions and fantasy and fear and facts and faith and freedom. They're going by the wayside. You know, today people derive truth from authority. But in the past, authority was derived from the truth. Remember, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, when a child of God like you or me looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God and is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God, I believe he's learned the truth of God. And folks, that is literally the source of all authority. So I encourage you folks to prize the truth. And as you prize the truth, praise God. Amen? Purchase the truth. Yes, purchase it with your surrender to all else, and then preserve the truth. Yes, preserve it. And then go out and proclaim that truth, everyone around you. And as you do that, that truth, and we know the name of that truth is Jesus Christ. As you proclaim him, he becomes the great focal point of our lives and the lives of others. And remember that one very famous scripture out of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And folks, I'm telling you, that is the core of all truth, the gospel truth. I'm telling you with all my heart, folks, that if you'll open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God's going to forgive you. He'll forgive you of every sin, past, present, and future. He's going to bury it in the grave of his forgetfulness, folks. And he will fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you a peace and a power that you've never, ever known. So in the midst of all this craziness, he's going to set you free. And he's going to set you on a journey of discipleship where you will be a disciple indeed. And in truth, you're going to live a life that'll truly, literally make you free. So if you want to be saved, I'm going to remind you that Jesus died for you. He loves you. He paid for your sins on that cross. So folks, your sins have already been paid for. And all you have to do is put your hands up in the air and surrender to him. Just say, forsaking all, I trust him. That's the saving faith of Jesus Christ. So if that's something you want to do right now, just pray like this. And folks, this prayer doesn't save you. You are saved by grace through faith unto good works. Just say this, though, and God will hear it, and God will start moving supernaturally in you. Just pray, dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. My sin deserves judgment, but I want and I need mercy. Jesus, I know you died for me and you saved me from my sins. You promised to save me if I'd only trust and believe that you are who you said you are. And I trust you, Lord Jesus. I do trust you. Just tell them that out of your heart, folks. Just pray, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you paid my sin debt with your blood on that cross. And I believe that God raised you from the dead on the third day, that you ascended into heaven and you're seated on the throne. And now, by that gift of faith you give me, I receive you into my heart right now as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin, Jesus. Cleanse me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Folks, just say that. Pray that. Did you pray it? Well, if you did, just cry out. Cry out, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Remember this, folks. He cannot lie, and he won't lie, and he'll never abandon you or forsake you. And don't look for a feeling. Don't look for a sign. Just stand on his word and know that he can't lie, and he saved you. And he's going to make you the person he created you to be, and he wants you to be. And just give him, ask him to give you the strength to never be ashamed to share that truth with others. And we pray that in your name, Lord Jesus. Now, folks, I wanted to do that here in Ken's Corner just to give you an opportunity to be saved before we get into the last part of our message where I share with you what now, what happens after you're saved. But we have to keep moving for right now. So now it's time for our Back to the Future segment. And in this segment, we take something from the past and bring it to the future. Okay, so I don't want to go that far back this time, but I'm going to go back to 1994, and there was a book written titled Focus of Demons. And the bottom line, it says that 4 billion useless eaters will be eliminated. No cash, no coin. It'll all be digital until you disobey, and then it's shut off. Now, this book was written by Georgios Ceres Haton. And there's just a few notable quotes I'd like to share with you out of this. Noteworthy quotes. They begin around page 105. And if you'd like a copy of this book, folks, I can get it out to you by PDF if you email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. So here's the first noteworthy quote from about page 105. And it reads, there will be no middle class, only rulers and servants. All laws will be uniform under a legal system of world courts, practicing the same unified code of laws backed up by a one-world government police force and a one-world unified military to enforce laws in all former countries where no national boundaries shall exist. The system will be on the basis of a welfare state. That's the universal basic income, folks. Those who are obedient and subservient to the one-world government will be rewarded with means to live, and those who are rebellious will simply be starved to death or be declared outlaws, thus a target for anyone who wishes to kill them. Privately owned firearms or weapons of any kind will be prohibited. Moving on to page 107, listen to this. The book talks about the elite's plan to eliminate 4 billion useless eaters. It says at least 4 billion useless eaters shall be eliminated by the year 2050 by means of limited wars, organized epidemics of fatal, rapid-acting diseases and starvation. Energy, food, and water shall be kept at subsistence levels for the non-elites, starting with the populations of Western Europe and North America, and then spreading to other races. The population of Canada and Western Europe and United States will be decimated more rapidly than other continents until the world's population reaches a manageable level of 1 billion, of which 500 million consist of Chinese and Japanese. Selected because they are people who have been regimented for centuries and who are accustomed to obeying authority without question. Now, a couple interesting things. We've talked about Deagle.com before on here. And did you know that just a few weeks ago, Deagle.com eliminated their 2025 update on world population and specific country-by-country populations and GDPs, showing that the U.S. population would be decimated to about 100 million. In other words, the 350 million people alive today in the United States, 250 million of them will be gone by 2025. And I think this whole jab and this whole scam with these quote-unquote vaccines is the perfect bioweapon to achieve this. Isn't that what we see taking place right now? limited wars, organized epidemics of fatal and rapid acting diseases. Can you say G5 and COVID-19? And how about all the food shortages and supply shortages we're hearing about? Did you hear that there may be a shortage of gasoline this summer? You know, and then the United States will be flooded. This is another, I think this is page 108. The United States will be flooded by peoples of alien cultures who will eventually overwhelm America, people with no concept of what the United States Constitution stands for and who will, in consequence, do nothing to defend it, and in whose minds the concept of liberty and justice is so weak as to matter little, where food and shelter shall be their main concern. Folks, that's what's happening right now. So there's more in this, but I'm going to move on. Isn't that what we see happening right now? Isn't that everything that's happening as we speak? So how's this apply to the future? Well, I'm going to say a few words and that's it. Border crisis. How's that? We all know about the border crisis, don't we? There's one other thing I'd like to add. Who is this George Hatton? Well, he's referred to as a servant under God according to his will. So at first people may say, oh, this is really good, but he's actually one of these New Agers from the Ashtar Command. Yeah, he's one of those folks. I think it has something to do with all the UFO disclosures. But this information is fairly new. Now, he goes on in his opening prayer to refer to love as God. No, God is love, but love is not God. Love is an attribute of God, but love is not God. So these little twists to words is how it all works. So I've painted a pretty bleak picture today, and I know it could get some people down, but now it's time for the fun part of this message, folks. We are going to talk about what happens after you're born again. So remember last week we looked at John chapter 3 and Jesus talking to the high priest Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was very confused. And Jesus explained that you got to be born of water and blood. You know, water from the umbilical fluid and blood from the cross. So it's a twice born, once dead. Once born, twice dead. It's a point to ponder, isn't it? So, okay, now you're born again. Either you got born again years ago or perhaps last week after the message or maybe when I shared that little thought in Ken's Corner. But let's just say you're born again. So now what? Well, being born again sets you off on a new life, just like a newborn baby. But this is in the spiritual realm. Now, at birth, a baby can't do anything for himself. He can't even hold his head up. But as we grow, we begin to gain control over our bodies. But when you're born again, you need to learn that control all over again. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus is in you, except you be reprobate? So right there, St. Paul says that if you're born again, Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, folks. And this is crucial to understand, and so few do. I mean, Christians don't understand this. So how do we picture this? Well, my pastor, Pastor Todd, did such a great job last week. If you draw a circle on a board and picture everything outside of the circle is the world, and everything inside the circle is you. So you have your body, and then there are things inside your body. So draw another circle inside that circle and call that the soul. And then draw a circle inside that circle and call it your spirit. So these three concentric circles comprise your being, the outer your body, the next one your soul, and the very inner circle your spirit with the world on the very outside. Now, as we grow up in the flesh with our physical bodies, our bodies develop and adapt to this world. But then to connect our bodies to the world, we have to have a soul. Now, the soul has three components in it. We've talked about this in past messages. They include your mind, your will, and your emotions. And remember, the mind is different than the brain. So your mind is, if you use the comparison of a piano and a piano player, your mind is like the pianist, whereas your brain is like the piano. Okay? And then you also have a will and emotions. And then in our very innermost being, we have the spirit. Now, many people confuse the soul and the spirit, but they're very distinct, and the Bible says that. They're unique, and they're very different, folks. So then you have this being known as yourself with these three components, and you're put into this world. Now, the world's both good and bad. Now, good things in the world could be food, family, friends. And the bad things, there's things like sin, Satan, sickness. And then we also have this other force from the outside coming upon us, telling us what's good and bad, and that's called the law of God. Now, have you ever noticed that a lot of times your body and even your soul do things that you just don't want them to do, both big and small? You might get something in your head like, oh, I just got to do this, or I just got to go there. I got to marry that girl. And you tear down walls and move mountains to do whatever that may be, good or bad. Now, let's just suppose it's a bad life choice. Then you got to live with the consequences. But we also do simple little stupid things like maybe your shoelace is untied and you just want to get home and get something put away before you deal with the shoelace, and then you end up tripping and breaking your teeth. My point is that often our body and our souls, they do things that we just don't want them to do. Now, when you tie this all together, this body-soul-spirit relationship to the world, that's where understanding this in relationship to being born again gets really interesting. See, when you get born again, the Spirit of God reaches out from the heavens and takes a little bit of the Holy Spirit and pours it into your spirit, which the Bible says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, which illuminates the soul. That's in Proverbs. I think it's chapter 20, verse 27, but don't quote me on that. Now, in the New Testament, you see this word life being used. And there's actually three words in the Greek, and I learned this last week from Pastor Todd. Three words in the Greek language that are translated as life. First, you have the life of the body, which is bios. Then you have the life of the soul, which is psyche. And ultimately, you have the life of the spirit, which is zoe. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life, that psyche, shall lose it. And whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." So what Jesus is saying is that we in our soul need to lay down our will, our mind, our emotions before him. And then Jesus says we shall have eternal life. And when he says that, he's using the Greek word zoe. Now, the reason we have eternal life is that because as believers, we have the Spirit of Christ, also known as the Holy Spirit, living in us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, or zoe, and the life was the light of men. Okay, so now you're born again. Now what? Okay, and that's essentially the mechanics of being born again. Now, some who are born again act and live that life. But there are a lot of Christians, people who are born again, that look around and see the unsaved, the unrepentant, living better lives than they do. So there are some people out there that are really good at minding their P's and Q's, doing everything right. But you know what? They don't have eternal life. They don't have that zoe. They don't. And they're going to be as dead as everyone else when they gasp their last breath and their heart makes that last beat. So the point I'm trying to make here is being good isn't going to give you eternal life. Being good won't take you to the other shore of eternity. Just not the way it works. You have to be saved. You have to put your hands up in the air and say, forsaking all, I trust him. So when that happens in your life, that supernatural experience occurs, you're born again. And then you have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." That's your body and soul. So what Paul's saying there is we need to learn to walk by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 reads, "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, in our lives, as we go about day by day, one or the other is stronger. Your flesh is either stronger than the Spirit, or your spirit is stronger than the flesh. And whichever one's stronger wins. Did you ever notice, folks, that when you get saved, your interests and your desires, they begin to change? Well, that's the strengthening of the spirit and the weakening of the flesh. But it's a process, folks. So there's this battle going on between the flesh and the spirit and the flesh. It's an internal battle, and it's waged till the day that we're perfected. But I hope you see this shift through a process known as sanctification. And it's as you're being saved in your soul, so to speak. So when you get saved, your spirit is renewed. You're given a measure of his faith, and you receive some of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a slow process as your mind is no longer conformed to the world, but renewed through Jesus Christ. And that's that process of sanctification. And that's an ongoing process till the day we breathe our last breath. And then ultimately, we're going to be perfected in the body. And we're going to be given our resurrection body, our incorruptible bodies, and then we're going to be totally saved, body, soul, and spirit. But they are in the reverse order of which we died as through Adam. You know, when Adam died, when he sinned that day in the garden, he died. But he died in the spirit. And then he started to die in the soul, and ultimately he died in the body. And that's just the reverse of the way we get saved. We get saved in the spirit, then in the soul, and ultimately in the spirit, in the flesh. So it's justification, sanctification, glorification. And isn't that awesome? Now, this battle's waging, and we hope that we see that sanctification process underway. And before we got born again, there were these external forces trying to have us conform. They were the laws and the regulations and the culture. Born again, there's an internal driver, and that's the Holy Spirit working inside of you. And that's so much better. That's a life of liberty. And that's a life of freedom. Freedom from the power and penalty and ultimately the very presence of sin in our lives. Now, if this isn't happening in you, it's not happening for one of three reasons. Either one, you're still immature, and you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul distinguishes three types of people: the natural man, the spiritual man, and the backslidden spiritual man known as the carnal man. One reason this could be happening in your life is that you have a calloused heart. You know, when you get a callous on your hand from working with a tool or doing gardening or whatever it is, it gets hard. Well, your heart can get hardened. And if you're a believer and your heart gets hardened, you're in the state of a carnal Christian. And that's not good. Get out of it. And then the third reason you might not experience any of this is you may think you're a Christian, but you're not. Now, the churches are full of people like that. They conform culturally, but they're not conforming spiritually. But praise the Lord, when you do put your hands up in the air and say, "Forsaking all, I trust him," you're no longer under the law. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." So praise the Lord. Allow him to lead you, folks. And then when you do, you have victory. That victory that I talk about every week in the intro to this show. And you have the Zoe life of the Holy Spirit ruling over your psycho or suko life and your bio life. So the life of your soul and the life of your body. Now, when that all comes together, you're firing on all cylinders. You're living the life that God intended you to live. Now, did you ever start worrying about things that might go wrong, that could go wrong? Well, that could be your soul talking to you. And when your soul starts to do that, it can lie to you. So that's why it's so important to have your lamp filled with the Holy Spirit so that it's given light to your soul. Because the Spirit only speaks truth. And the Spirit will enable you to discern the lies that come from yourself, Satan, and society. So it's so important that you do that and you get into this right order. Now, Paul gave us a list in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. He talked about the works of the flesh, and he said they're many or manifold or manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and here's where it gets really good, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Think about it, folks. Can anyone write a law saying that you can't be temperate? Can anyone write a law and say you can't be peaceful? Can anyone write a law and say it's forbidden to love? No, that's just plain silliness. But, you know, remember, we have this internal battle. I shouldn't say eternal, but this internal battle going on in our inner man as believers. We have the flesh rearing up, the flesh and the soul rearing up against the Spirit. And you want your spirit man to get stronger. You want your spirit man to win this internal battle that's going on. And the incredible news is that because of the fruit of the Spirit, we can actually bear this love, this goodness, this faith, this meekness, this temperance, this peace, this joy, this long-suffering. We can bear it. So as the Spirit starts to have dominion over us, and not merely being present, but president in our lives, we can see all kinds of powerful, miraculous things happen. And get this, the Holy Spirit is in you right now. All he wants you to do is get off that throne and get on the cross, and allow him to assume that throne in the very inner being. And when you do that, everything just gets right. Now, I'd rather have the love of God in my life, folks, than anyone else's. Everyone else's is just a bonus. But if I know that God loves me, I'm starting to think right. And when that happens and bad things happen, like the car breaks down or I get fired, or I can't get fired, but the company collapses or whatever, or the stock market crashes, I'm still going to have that love, that joy, that peace, those fruits of the Spirit. So I ask you a question, folks. Which is stronger in you right now, your soul and your flesh or your spirit? Which is speaking louder to your inner man right now, your soul or your spirit? Which, folks? Only you can answer that. Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he was talking about. Is your spirit voice louder than your soul voice, or is your soul voice louder than your spirit voice? Whichever is louder in your inner man is the one that's going to leak out and be seen by others. So if your spirit man is more powerful than your soul, you're going to leak love, you're going to leak joy, you're going to leak all those other fruits of the Spirit. And then people are going to see it, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of difficult times. Remember, this is happening in us, through us, and to us, all by this mystery of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Now, the first thing Paul talks about, coming from the flesh in terms of this war are all things that are sexual in nature. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. But these things are all going to quench the spirit. And I encourage you and I urge you and I beseech you to get those things out of your life. Take those thoughts captive in obedience to Jesus Christ. And then allow the love of God, that agape love, to fill you. Now remember, there's also a filio love, that's brotherly love, and there's an eros love, that's a sexual love. And I encourage you folks to limit that eros love to the marriage bed, which is undefiled. Now, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, God just wants me to be happy. And if you hear that, there should be a warning bell going off. That's just your soul talking a lie to you. You know, God's not real concerned about happiness in your life. You know, happiness depends upon your circumstances, and that's the least concern of God. He wants you. He wants all of you. He wants to be operating in you and to you and through you. Now, Paul also talks about other things that well up in the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, rife, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Don't you like that last one, and such like? He's saying, and everything else that's not of God. Think about this. Have you ever had a fit of anger? Well, if you have, most likely it comes from your soul, although there is a righteous anger. So what you have to learn to do is discern between a fit of anger and righteous anger. Righteous anger comes from your spirit man, and that's when you're appalled by some of the injustices you see, and then you stand on the righteousness of Christ and declare his truth. But a fit of anger, that comes from your soul, and that's something that's welling up because of envying or murder or drunkenness or any of these other things that Paul warns us about. So I encourage you folks to just receive that love of God, that agape love, and allow it to fill you. And when you do that, folks, I'm telling you, supernatural things will happen. St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So as believers, especially when we're in church and a stranger comes in, we have to show the love of Christ to that stranger. We have to welcome them. We have to receive them, regardless of what condition they're in, regardless of what sin they may have. Now, we don't love the sin, but we love the sinner, and that's the point. As believers, we have to treat all people well, showing that agape love of God that's being born through us as the branches bear the fruit of the vine. And when we live like that, and our bodies are conforming to a soul that is being directed by the Spirit, I'm telling you, supernatural things start to happen. We, through the Spirit, are led to the truth. And you know, folks, if we did that, all this other garbage in the world would just be gone. All that stuff, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, rite, strife, all that stuff, Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 20 through 26. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So how do we do this? Well, there's several places in the Scripture that tell us that truth. You can find it over in Romans chapter 6 and some other places. And it's very simple. We need to yield to the Spirit. So I like how Pastor Todd said it last week. We need a doorstop. Yeah, as Christians, we all need doorstops. Now, what would we need a doorstop for? To prop open the door to our soul to allow the will of God in. And that's the key to it all, folks. We need to be able to let go and let God. So as a believer, I encourage you to forsake all and trust him, and you're going to see supernatural things happen, regardless of all of this craziness going on in the world. So I encourage you folks, in the words of Winston Churchill, to never give in. Never give in.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Never, folks. Never. And never forget that that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in you and me. Folks, I love you all, and I'll be back next week, provided the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in, and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.